Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts 3, verse 19. That's where we're going to begin today. Acts 3, verse 19. If you are taking notes, this is refreshing. Now, it's interesting because, you remember, the Lord had me talk to us way back over 6 months ago at the start of this new year, right? That this would be a year to keep it fresh. And remember, we said that in order to keep fresh, there were a couple things you needed to kind of keep in mind. And that was to walk in forgiveness, to renew your mind, to encourage one another, to speak words of faith, and to hold on to hope. Those were ways that you could keep the new year fresh. And that was forgiveness, renew your mind, encourage yourself and each other, speak the word of God in faith, and hold on to hope. Those were the points that we started the new year off with. And now, here we are in summer. You know, a lot of the United States is in what is known as a heat wave, right? And what is a heat wave? It's just an extended period of time where the temperatures are elevated. That's all it is. Nothing to be afraid about. They've been happening for a long time. If you read the Bible, there were famines. There were changes in weather that affected. It does not mean, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, okay? It just means that our climate does have swaths of variation. It will go up and down. And so in this particular case, we're in a heat wave, right? I think yesterday I got in my car and it was, my little temperature gauge in my car said 100 as I got out of work at about 4:30 yesterday afternoon in Danbury. And I walked down and went, whoa, that's hot, right? Down in Florida, it was hot. The humidity kind of hits you, you know, and strange things, you know, where you grow up and where you were raised, and it'll make you kind of almost be nostalgic. And so when I felt the Florida heat last Sunday as we were getting in and out of cars and doing some things with my folks and then taking my mom to dinner, you know, I felt that Florida heat, and it actually reminded me of when I was a little kid. It's like, oh, I remember this. I remember riding my bike in this. You know, you just kind of remember those things. But so we're in a heat wave, but those are the times that we need a refreshing. And I can still feel it. Maybe you can too. I want you just to kind of imagine walking in the heat and then literally plunging yourself into either a body of water somewhere, diving off of a dock somewhere into cool ocean water, wading into from the beach into the ocean and being splashed by refreshing waves, or diving into a pool and feeling that coldness, that refreshing that comes on you. I want you to put your faith out there today that that's going to be you, spiritually speaking. Okay? That's going to be you, spiritually speaking, today. And so, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This is what the Lord says to us. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. It says this: repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Now this is Peter's sermon, if you will. This is Peter literally explaining after he the lame man was healed at the Gate Beautiful. And so this is Peter kind of explaining some things to some religious people. And he's telling them, repent. Now sometimes we, in our Western mindset and in our American mindset, sometimes we look at the word, and even sometimes our church filter, we look at the word repent and we go, oh, I don't need to do that if I'm a Christian. But you see, the word repent, in its broader context, is not just I'm changing direction on something. Sometimes it's a reset, if you will. It is a way of changing my thinking. I was thinking one way, and now I'm going to change my thinking to another. It's a way of resetting yourself. And so, in the context of what he was talking to them about receiving Christ and being converted, that's the context that he originally was talking about. But when we look at it in a broader sense, and again, I don't think I'm doing misjustice to the scripture by doing this, that repentance is that change of mind and it's that change of direction. Sometimes, in order for us to stay fresh and be refreshed, we've got to adjust our thinking. Just like your computer starts to slow down when you haven't turned it off in a while. You've been using it. You've been doing a lot of hard work, right? You've been doing some things, getting some things done. Some of you who use computers as tools. Maybe you haven't paid attention to the maintenance that you needed to do on your computer. Every now and then, what do you have to do? You have to unplug it and reset it. Repentance for the believer many times is, check my heart, God. Is there anything I need to change my thinking on? If you look in the context of what the word means, you see that there's a lot of repenting going on in the wrong context in our world today. The changing of thinking. That we thought one way, but now we're going to think this way because it just feels good. Because we don't care what God says. And that's the kind of stuff that's going on today, right? It's like, oh, this is what God says. We don't really care about that. I'm changing my direction. And so we have the opposite of what we as believers should be doing. We should be going back to His direction, His course, and what He says. It's a change of course. It's a change of direction. But for as believers, and I believe I'm talking to believers of like precious faith in this room, that sometimes that time of refreshing that needs to come to you is just a mere, you need to unplug. You need to unplug a little bit. It might mean that God asks you to, you know, get off social media for a week. Wouldn't hurt you. You know? Quit watching the news for a week. I couldn't do that. Yeah, you could. The world's not going to... You can't change anything by worrying about what's going on in the world. News, listen, if you haven't figured it out, the reason why news is negative is because human beings are wired negatively. They are wired negatively. You got to change your thinking. The reason why... I'll never forget when CNN first came out back in the 80s. I found myself... Remember they used to do that loop? And it would change every 10 minutes? I would find myself staring at the loop and watching it 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 times. One time, Christine, in typical Pastor Christine Faster, she came in to where I was. She goes, haven't you seen this? And I'm like, yeah, but something might have changed. Oops. Thank you so much. We don't mind also advertising for Trinidad Cristiano, but thank you so much, Adam. Isn't Adam an awesome brother?
Awesome.
What a great addition to Westchester Family Church. He's a good brother. Well, yeah, praise God. Amen. He's quite a talented guitar player, too. So, praise God. Great addition. Anyway, where was I? So, Pastor Christine walks in. Haven't you seen this before? I'm like, yeah, but something might have changed. She says, you've seen it 4 times. I'm like, yeah, but what if it changes on the 5th time? You see, we are wired, hardwired to negativity. And sometimes repenting means to just change that thinking a little bit. In order to change the thinking, you've got to do something that computer programmers, like my father, he was a computer programmer for 40 years, basically a software engineer. Garbage in, garbage out. That was what he used to teach me when I was a kid, and I would be taking a computer programming class in high school. He was like, just remember, whatever you put in will come out. And I think that what happens to us as human beings, this repentance, we've made it such a negative word, we haven't looked at it in the positive light. In the positive light, God offers us something. When we came to Christ, we gave Jesus our broken life and he gave us a new one. That's a pretty good deal, right? But now that we've known him, sometimes we need to just change our thinking so that we can be refreshed. Notice what the verse says right after. He says, repent and be converted, to be converted, that your sins would be blotted out, so that times of refreshing. Notice the word there is times. Times is more than one time, right? It's plural. It's more than one time. I'm not saying you have to get born again every single moment of every day. What I'm trying to say here, though, is times of refreshing. When we have a relationship with God, there are ebbs and flows. There are highs. And in this life, you will have trouble. There will be moments that you walk through and you feel like I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And some of you have experienced that kind of pain in your life, that kind of loss, that kind of difficulty. All of us, if you've lived long enough, you've felt it at some point in your life. Some have felt it earlier than others. But regardless, we've all felt that kind of pain. But the word here tells us that there are times of refreshing. So there are moments where you can get refreshed. You know, all right, well, thank you, Jesus. There are times that we can be refreshed. And when we are refreshed, then we can be our very best for God. We can be our very best to give out to others. And so there are times, that's more than one time, there are times of refreshing, right? What does it say there? Go back and look at it. It says, times of refreshing. Where do they come from? They come from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Now, over the years, and I have been I've been in ministry now, glory to God. The gray is showing here. Since 1985. You do the math, 1985, 37 years. 37 years been in the ministry. And in 37 years, I have noticed some things. I've noticed that Christians get tired. Anybody in here notice that? Have you ever noticed that sometimes even Christians get weary? You ever notice that too? Right? I think it's because we don't always unplug enough and go back to the presence of the Lord. I've had people in many different circumstances. I'm not talking about any of you here. So get that out of your mind. Okay? But I've had people come and say, Pastor, I'm going to take a break. And then what they do is they don't even go to church. And I'm thinking, that's not how you get refreshed. You can take a break. But what should you be doing when you take that break? Getting into the presence of the Lord. Because if we want the times of refreshing, then we've got to put ourselves, say, put yourself in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Put yourself in the, I've known ministers who say, oh, I'm burned out, I need a break. And then they literally fade out. And they don't do anything. That's why I love Pastor Joe, him being in our pulpit, right? Because Pastor Joe could have done that. Pastor Joe could have done that when his wife passed away and he no longer was pastoring a church. He could have just faded out. But do you know that man goes and goes and goes? This morning he's playing saxophone up at Grace Family Church, I believe, because they have a guest speaker and he's just offering his supply to another church. Now, isn't that cool? What is he doing? He's getting himself in the presence of the Lord. See, taking breaks, taking vacations, do it. But make sure you get in the presence of the Lord. Take those moments where I like what Sister Valley says, I'm just shut in with Jesus. What are you doing? You are in the presence of the Lord. There is a time of refreshing. And there is nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. I am so excited for our teenagers going next week, because what are they doing? They are unplugging, and they might not know this yet, but they probably will find out about it. Phones get taken away. Yes. Phones get taken away. They unplug from this beast. And they get saturated in the presence. I envy them. Saturated in the presence of the Lord. Right? They're going to literally be saturated in the presence of the Lord. So the investment that you as a church have made in financially, and the time that it takes and the effort to take some kids, you're investing into those times of refreshing. And if you ask Brother Adam, if you ask Brother Colin, who have been to youth camp, they will tell you that even though they're working like mad when they're there, that they themselves get refreshed. Am I right? You might come home physically exhausted, but inside there is something that gets deposited down on the inside. Why? Because you have changed your thinking a little bit. You adjusted yourself. You unplugged. See, this is why I'm trying to get you to make a practical application for your life. It's not about I walk down the aisle every single time there's a church service to give my heart to Jesus. Now, if that is you and you've done that, one of these times, as the old line Pentecostals will say, one of these times it's going to stick. But at the same time, what I'm talking about, a believer who has been walking with God, who's gotten tired, who's gotten a little bit cranky. Anybody in here ever been a cranky Christian? I hope you're not raising your hand. No, I'm raising my hand. I've been there, right? It's like cranky Christians, right? One minister, I heard him say it this way. He says, you look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. You know? If you're happy, you need to remind your face. And you need to remind your face. We should be the most joyful people on the planet. But, as one of my mentors used to say, we leak. We get filled up with God, we leak. We get filled up with God, we leak. And guess what? You are supposed to leak on a world that's thirsty. So just like there are seasons in the earth, there are seasons for you as a Christian. But the times of refreshing are up to you to change your thinking, and if you need to unplug, unplug. But don't unplug totally from the things of God. Don't unplug and totally say, well, you know, I'm gonna take a break. I'm just not gonna go to church anymore. And I got burned out. Well, wait a second. That's where you're going to find life. You're going to find life by being around other believers of like precious faith. You don't want to be alone. You want to be connected to a life-giving body. You want to be connected in relationship. You want to be connected so that when you come together, you get lifted up so that what? Times of refreshing might come from the Lord. You know, at the end of our praise and worship today, there was a sweet presence of God in this place. And if you were open to it and received it, it was like a nice, cool breeze coming on the inside of your spirit. You might be exhausted because you worked an all-nighter last night. You might be exhausted because you have just been under it and under it and under it at work. Maybe your life has just thrown you wrench after wrench after wrench, but when you come into the presence of God, it changes everything. It changes everything. In fact, that song talks about this whole room begins to change. When we come together, there is a presence that comes together. Jesus said, I am there in the midst of them where two or three are gathered in my name. You bring Jesus. So it's not about Jesus, it's a different way he manifested. And I've said this many times from this pulpit. I've said, it's not just, I'm by myself, Jesus isn't with me. He is with you. But there's something special about coming together. It just makes the difference. Say it makes the difference. See, times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord. Being in the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, so that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. See, God wants us, there is a natural progression that when we unplug, when we get refreshed, when you take a vacation. Listen, when people tell me as a pastor, hey, listen, I won't be here next week, I'm on vacation. I actually get excited for you. I do. I'm like, cool. I'm really glad. I'm glad you're getting away. Sometimes people will, I so appreciate, Brother Colin will tell me his schedule. I won't be here for this and I won't be here for this. I'm going away and doing something with my family. I'm like, cool. I hope you have a really, really good time. Why? Because when I go away, I want people to say, you have a really, really good time. Be refreshed. Unplug a little bit. But don't unplug from God. Unplug from maybe your regular way of doing things, right? Like, I was down in Florida for just a couple of days. Got there Thursday, came back on Monday afternoon. I felt like I was there about a week because I didn't do a whole lot. It was hot. It's summer in Florida. Didn't do a whole lot, but hung out with my family, ate with them, cooked for them, hung out in their pool a little bit. One day I was in the pool for several hours. I was like, when was the last time I did that? And it just does something for you when you change what you're doing. Even if you go to a barbecue or picnic, what's really cool? Your senses are all different, aren't they? Think about this. You go to a picnic, you go to the beach, you go to a barbecue. You're in a different surrounding. You're not sitting at the same old, same old. So you have a heightened awareness of different things going on around you. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the food tastes better? Even if it's cold. Now, if you ate cold chicken at your house or at a restaurant, you'd be like, that you normally go to, you'd be like, that chicken's cold. But sitting on a beach somewhere, eating a nice chicken, piece of chicken that's cold, and you go, oh man, this is really good, isn't it? Everything about change heightens your awareness. Now, we as believers of like precious faith, when you take a break in the presence of the Lord, it says that everything else is heightened awareness. I'm in the presence of the Lord. When these kids, they're taken out of their environment, they're put into a supercharged spiritual environment. They go to church more times than a lot of their peers will go in a year, starting Sunday night. Next Sunday night, some of those young people, some of their peers that they either go to school with or know in their community down the neighborhood might go to church twice a year. They're going to go to church how many times, Brother Colin? 10 times. 10 times. Why is that important? Because sometimes you need to make those personal investments. When I hear Marcia is going to go to a conference on missions, because that's her passion, that's one of her heartbeats, one of her drives to not only help the down and out, because if you know Marcia, that's Marcia's heart, right? But she will spend her own money, invest, and sometimes even say, if somebody else from the church wants to come, they can come talk to me. I've got an extra ticket or I got an extra room. But she's wanting to invest in what? Times of refreshing, in the presence of the Lord. What is the end result? Restoration. Restoration. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. You say, well, Pastor, you're telling us vacations are biblical. Yeah, I am. I am telling you they are. As long as you know, don't leave God out of your vacation, though. Please don't leave God out of your vacation. Sometimes it's even really cool to go visit a church service somewhere. I know if you'll talk to Reverend Ennis, he'll tell you that's what he does. It's kind of cool to see what other people do. I think Ron has done that. Ron and Marilyn have done that before. They've gone and visited a church when they've gone down to North Carolina, whatever, and say, oh, yeah, have you ever heard of this church? Yeah, I went to that, and boy, and it's really cool. Sometimes you learn things. You see things. You see things about that you appreciate about your own church. You go, man, I like the way we do that. Boy, that's a good idea. I should bring that back to my church. Come on. This is why you should. It's a good idea to kind of go and do these things now. I said, Pastor, you're trying to get rid of us? No. I love you guys here. I'm believing God. And you heard, if you were in prayer this morning before church, I'm believing God for every chair to be filled. And that God's bringing them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Amen. So, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3. Hallelujah. I love Ephesians 3 because it talks to us about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5. Thank you. Sorry. I said 3. I didn't even read my own writing. All right. Ephesians 5. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And let's go ahead and pick up there. Hallelujah. We're going to pick up in verse 15. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How many want to be wise? I do, right? Redeeming the time, buying it back, in other words, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled, verse 18, with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it say there? It says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine where is in excess or dissipation, but instead be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled. The word there is to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? As I said it before, we leak. You and I leak. We're supposed to leak. We're supposed to be that cold glass of water on a hot summer day to the person who needs hope. That's what we're supposed to be about. And when you give out and give out and give out and never replenish, that's where we get burned out. God wants us to take those repentance times of refreshing. Get in. Change your thinking. Unplug. Reset the computer. Unplug it. Sometimes somebody will bring to us, they'll bring to us a phone, and there's really nothing wrong with the phone, really. It just hasn't been turned off in a real long time. And sometimes I'll just be able to look at that phone, and I'm not a technician, but I've been around it for a long time, and I'll just say, hey, let me just try something, and I'll just turn the phone off, turn it back on. I say, is that better? And they go, wow, you fixed it. You're a genius. I'm like, no, but it's just every now and then you got to turn it off. Do you know, sometimes that's what you got to do with your life. Take a little break. It doesn't have to be an expensive vacay. Praise God, when you have that kind of budget, you can do that. But little breaks. My wife and I used to, when we were first married and we didn't have We didn't have children at that time. We'd say, let's take a 5-minute vacation, and we would just go take a little walk. 5-minute vacation. Well, it's a mindset. It's a mindset to unplug. It's a mindset to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. It's an investment into yourself for those times of refreshing. So be continually filled. Be continually, continually filled. Now let's go over to John chapter 20. Let's go over there. I was going to go to another passage, Colin, but I'm just going to go to John 20 because I think this is where the meat, the crux of where we want to be today. All right, so in John chapter 20, we start seeing where Jesus, he's appearing to his disciples. And he ends up appearing to them multiple times after his death on the cross. He ends up appearing several different times. And I think it's really indicative that I believe the disciples needed to be refreshed. It's John chapter 21, excuse me, not 20. 21. John chapter 21, verse 9. And I mentioned this, but his disciples, verse 8, they were in the boat, right? And verse 9, and as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The third time. You know, after the death, burial, and resurrection, I imagine those guys were tired. They had been grieving. Their world had been turned upside down. If anybody had an opportunity to give up and quit, it was them. Think about that for a second when you're going through a hard time, when you're going through a desert, when you're going through the ebbs and flows of life, the ups and downs. Jesus came to them in those moments. He comes to you and me in those moments. In those moments when you need him. Those moments when you least expect him sometimes. Those moments where me as a 15-year-old young man who had just given my heart to Jesus on vacation with my parents and sensing the presence of God in the back seat of their car reading the New Testament through two times that summer. Two times driving down the road. And that time of refreshing, that time of reset, that time of me being pulled away from my friends, me being set in with God, if you will. We went to church that vacation. Little Pentecostal church. Met in a barn. Ended up going to a Christian bookstore and a lady talking about a book that changed my life. How to Live Like a King's Kid by Harold Hill. Read that book cover to cover as soon as I got it. Realized that I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to live this Christian life. Times of refreshing. Jesus came to me when I least expected it. Jesus came to his disciples. Back up just a couple verses ahead. Verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon, Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you also. You know why? They didn't know what to do with their life. Peter said, I'm going to go catch some fish. I'm not just sitting around here. We already mourned the master's death. We've had some weird experiences with him. I'm going fishing. They went out, immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. When you least expect it, when you unplug, Jesus will show up. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Jesus has a way of refreshing us that happens in just a moment. Sometimes we get this idea that if we feel dry and depleted and you don't feel like you even want to pray anymore, and you feel like your prayers are only reaching about that high. And every Christian that I know has been there at some point in their life. And when you get to those places, and God shows up, and bam, He shows up really quick. You didn't have to earn anything to start feeling that presence again. He just comes. I imagine that as soon as He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. I imagine their little spiritual antenna, the hair on the back of their neck probably went, I think I know who that is. And when Jesus shows up in your darkest moments and in those moments of I am tired, I don't know if I could do this anymore, and He shows up in those moments, you just know it's Him. The Master has a voice. Hallelujah. Jesus, is that you? He shows up and He just tells you, you know, God, sometimes He'll ask you questions. And those questions lead you to the refreshing you need. What are you doing? He's a whole lot kinder and nicer than the guy on TV. How's that working for you? But He still gets you to think. So He said, children, you have any food? No. We don't have any. We didn't catch any fish. Well, all you have to do is just cast the net on the right side of the boat. You'll find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because the multitude of fish. Provision. Restoration in the presence of the Lord. And therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. John recognized it, right? John was like, hey, that's that. It's Him. It's Him. I don't know about you, but at that moment, I could care less about food. I could care less about anything. Just get me to Jesus. I've been in youth camp services that these young people will be in, where I've seen young people run to be in that presence. Adults, you've been a Christian a long time. Maybe you feel a little dry and weary. Maybe you feel like, I don't know if this is working. Jesus is calling out from the shore, and He's inviting you to a meal. And He's saying, come. Come. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. What about you? What are you doing to get into the presence of God? I'm not talking about working up salvation. I'm talking about positioning yourself in the presence of Almighty God, who is saying, I want to be with you. I want to have a meal with you. Bring some fish. And he provided the fish. Isn't that cool? Hey, why don't you bring some fish for breakfast? Who gave the fish? Jesus brought the whole kit and caboodle. And he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come, eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing he was the Lord. What an experience. I don't know about you, I would have dove off the boat too. It's interesting, Peter put his outer garment on because he didn't want to be in the presence of the Lord in his underwear. And he dove in. And he's the one, he wanted to go. John recognized it. Peter acted on it. It's kind of his personality. He was like, I'm the one walking on the water. Why? Is it you, Lord? Bid me come. Judas was probably sitting back in the boat saying, I'll hold your wallet. You can go. But Peter acted on it. What are you going to do with this message this year, this summer? What are you going to unplug? Maybe you can't get away, but what are you going to unplug and get in the presence of the Lord? Because the refreshing will come. I am convinced in my heart of hearts that God wants to refresh this church, that he wants to position us for the fall when we go into outreach mode here in Mount Kisco. Why? Because there's going to be people that need to be splashed on. They need us full. They don't need us dry and cranky. They need us full. So that when they have need of thirst, that we can bring the life-giving water of Jesus to them. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm almost done. Couple of thoughts here that'll help you make sense of all of this. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, there are a couple things I want you to recognize. If you're going to refresh, then there's going to mean there's a rest in his presence. If you're taking notes, this is the first thing I want you to think. Rest in his presence. This is not a vacation from God. This is, what are you going to do to get refreshed? Rest in his presence. Rest in his presence. I'm not saying that going and having a good time is wrong. There have been times I've sat on a beach and I've actually read a novel. It was not even a Christian novel. Remember that, Randy? We would go down to Jersey Shore, and just go on the beach and I just read a book. It wasn't even a spiritual book. But I guarantee you this, that I spent time praying too, because that was, you put the book aside. Have fun on your vacation. Have natural fun, okay? Do that. But at the same time, don't forget God. Figure out, how can I put myself in His presence? How can I put myself in His presence? I love when we have been able to get away as a family, go down to the shore, getting up in the morning and having a cup of coffee on the beach. I think that's one of Randy's things too. I think he likes that. He likes to watch the sunrise. Sometimes it's a little too early for me. But as I get older, my body wakes up sometimes before the sunrise. So before long, I'll probably be there joining him, you know, having a cup of coffee, watching that sunrise. Or watching a sunset. Or sitting by a lake. Or looking at a nice, beautiful vista somewhere. I'm not saying it has to be by water, although I'm a water guy. I like water. So it could be a mountain vista. It can be many different things. You know, somebody like, if you talk to Jim Licata, he likes to be out in the great outdoors, you know. And he, you know, I know because I've talked to him before. He says sometimes he's been on a tree stand waiting for a deer. And the presence of God has come over him. Just sitting there crying. I'm telling tales on him. He probably, don't tell him I cry. Right? But here's the thing. I'm a crybaby, so I don't mind. The presence of God gets on me, I'm going to cry. It doesn't matter. Right? Even a Hallmark movie. My kids know I won't watch sad animal movies. I don't like it. Don't like it. But if I'm in the presence of the Lord, I'm going to let it rip. Because there is something refreshing about that. God created you with emotions. So, rest in His presence. The second thing I want you to see from this story in John chapter 21 is that we need to invest in His presence. Invest in His presence. What does that mean? Oh, no, I'm not trying to pump up the offering for church. If you're thinking that, put your dollar back in your pocket. I can say that now. I've been at this 37 years. God will take care of His thing. But what I am saying is this. What do you bring to the Master? What do you bring to Him? He said to His disciples, bring some fish. They partook of it. Let's have a meal. Bring some fish. They worked for it too. Let's have a meal. Do you know Jesus, in another part of the Gospels, He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's rest for you. You've been carrying that financial load. There's rest for you. You've been carrying that emotional burden. There's rest for you. You've been carrying that health burden. There is rest and healing for you. Invest in His presence. What is He asking for you to bring to the table? Sometimes it's just yourself. It's your broken self. Get it in His presence so that He can fix you. Because only He can. And then know this, you will be blessed in His presence. There is a restoration. There's a restoration that comes. You will be blessed in His presence. And I love the fact that Scripture doesn't tell us what happened to the rest of the fish. Did you see that? It doesn't tell us what happened to the rest of the fish. They were businessmen. I guarantee you that after they probably gave to the poor, which I'm sure they did, because Jesus taught them to give. But I guarantee you they probably sold some of those fish in the fish market too. They had been with Him for 3 years, putting their lives on hold, and God will never be a debtor to a human being. He blessed them. He blessed them. Say, He blessed them. See, He's going to bless you too. When you put Him first, what do you invest? Sometimes you invest in yourself. You go to a conference. You come back excited about what God's doing. You go to a men's conference. You go to, a couple weeks back, Pastor Christine and I didn't have to go very far, so we slept in our own bed because we saved the financial cost of a hotel. The minister's retreat was just over at GFC, over in Danbury, Newtown. And we went there and got refreshed being around our colleagues, our peers in the RMAI family. These young people are going to go next week. I want us to send them out with spiritual blessing and support like we've never done before. We've had more kids go to youth camp before. We've had a bigger youth group before. But I want us to be there to bless them, right? To invest to those young people to get into His presence. And we will be blessed in His presence as well. Amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads. That's what I have for you today. Refreshing. Refreshing. Right now, just like a glass of cold, icy cold water on a hot summer day, there is a refreshing for every person in this room. If you'll have it, if you'll have it, He'll give it to you. So Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I'm praying for Your people. I'm praying for those that are watching online. Lord, that as You deal with them, as You deal with them to rest in Your presence, to invest in Your presence, and to be blessed in Your presence so that they would have an abundant supply to give out to others. Father, I pray that as they make those decisions to do that, the decisions sometimes that are inconvenient to get yourself in that place of rest, to pry yourself from the mundane and from the familiar, and to put yourself in an unfamiliar, sometimes uncomfortable place. Father, I pray that You give Your people courage today. That Westchester Family Church, as a whole, not just individuals, but as a whole, we would receive that refreshing. Because we disengage from our normal routine. We repent by changing our thinking about something. We unplug and reset the button so that we can get ourselves in Your presence. We can invest in Your presence. And we can be blessed in Your presence. Thank You, Father God, for doing that right now. In Jesus' name. Right now, every family that's represented, Lord, I pray that as they take time in that place of rest, God, specifically, whether it be a vacation, a picnic, a barbecue, just a night out, a night different, a meal somewhere else, Lord, that You would wash over them with Your presence as they invest, as they are blessed. Father, do it now in the name of Jesus. Even right now, giving them ideas, giving them thought toward that, giving them resources to invest in that, in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here right now and you don't have the money to go do something like that. I want to just tell you right now, God's got a place of rest for you. There is something for you. Just look right now. Just look with spiritual eyes. Father, open our eyes that we would see beyond a dollar amount, beyond necessarily what maybe we think in our minds. I don't, in the name of Jesus. I'm not sure who this is for, but some of you might be wrestling with that financial piece of this. And I just want to tell you right now, God's got some provision. And His rest doesn't have to be a dollar amount. It can be an opportunity coming your way. It can be a situation where, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your refreshing times, more than one time, times of refreshing, in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you're watching online and you don't know him. That is the main thing about repenting. And that is to change your thinking about how God thinks about you. Jesus came to die for your sins. He was raised from the dead for you to have a new life. And all he asks is that you would receive that new life by faith. Repent is to change your way of thinking. Change the way that you can do it all yourself. But say, no, Jesus did it on the cross for me. He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for me. And I call him my Lord and my Savior. We're going to pray a simple prayer out loud together. And as you pray that prayer, mean it in your heart, Jesus will come to live on the inside of you and you'll be born again. And right now, let's all pray that simple prayer. Say, Father God,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Lord,
for sending Jesus to die for my sins,
to
pay the price that he died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. And I call him my Lord and my Savior. And I receive his forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or something similar to that, or you act as an act of rededicating your life to Jesus, we want to know about it. We want you to tell somebody. I'd like to send some things to help you in your walk with God. Regardless of where you live, we can try to get something to you. Maybe get you hooked up with a church that's nearby. If you don't have a church home, we'd like to invite you right here, Westchester Family Church, 27 Radio Circle, Mount Kisco, New York. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we have our closing verse today. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. Wait, I'm sorry. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. You are dismissed.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It's